ॐ पूर्णमदः पूर्णमिदं पूर्णात् पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः
ॐ दट् ब्रह्मन् इज़् इन्फिनिट् and this universe is also infinite. The infinite proceeds from the infinite. Taking the infinitude of the infinite universe, it remains as the infinite Brahman alone. Om, peace, peace, peace be unto all. A great discussion of great spiritual aspirants was going on. What is Brahman and why should we realize Brahman, and what do we get out of it, and how can we realize Brahman? This is the subject matter of this entire fourth section of the first chapter of the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. In our last class, we saw that the whole universe is divided into seven types of foods. Food means that which one experiences through the five sense organs, not only through the sense organ of taste, everything. So what for these foods are created? First of all, the essential teaching of the Upanishad, every Upanishad, Bhagavad Gita, Gospel, Bible, New Testament, everything is this earth on which we are living is not a happy place, but there is a place beyond this earth without any limitations of time, space and causation, and that is called Paraloka or the highest world. And going there is only a verbal expression. It means knowing that I am God, I am everything, there is no creation, I am everything. That is the essence of every Upanishad. In this context, seven foods are there. What are those seven foods? First food that we have seen is the food that we experience. And then there are two types of foods. That is, we have to offer to gods. Gods are nothing but manifestations of Ishvara, one God. But as if, like the king of a country, assigns different roles, different departments, different managers to look after the welfare of the kingdom. So God has created these gods and goddesses for the sake of maintaining this universe. And if we live proper life, they are pleased with us. And so, how do we know what they expect from us? So, they created certain rules. Do this, do not do this. Vidhi and Nishedha. And this Vidhi and Nishedha have to be done only through some instruments. Those instruments are called body and mind. And therefore, body and mind are created for the purpose of self-knowing, knowing that I am God. As it were, God is playing a game, Leela. Let me forget myself and then let me enjoy. That is called Leela. And then let me again know that I am back to my own place. This is what Sri Ramakrishna calls Nitya and Leela. So, what is a food? That our body is a food. Our mind is a food. This entire creation is a food, and the manifestation of God in the form of the maintainers, that is also food. So yesterday I tried to explain the whole creation can be divided into three parts: adhyatmika, adhibhautika, adhidaivika. It's a triangle, and a triangle can never be broken. So long as we attain Brahman, as long as we do not attain Brahman, this triangle will remain. and to dissolve this triangle and to know that I am Brahman is the goal of life. Until that time, let us understand what this triangle is and try to use it in the proper way as guided by our scriptures, which guidance comes to us through our own gurus. A guru is none other than a right interpreter of the scriptures in accordance to the understanding capability of the student. So this is the purpose. So now I am here. My body requires food, physical food, but through this food, what happens? I live. And when I live, my body functions. And my body has 5 sense organs of knowledge and 5 organs of action. So this body along with the mind are utilized to experience. To eat food means not only to enjoy, but first purpose of food is to live. Only once health is assured, that I am not in danger of death is assured, then only comes, how can I make this food more enjoyable? And how can I make my food, that means my experiences, that means my body, my mind, my parents, my country, my religion, everything is created by me through my actions. This point specially comes in the 16th section, which we are going to enter very soon, where the whole 15th section is summarized as mind, walk, and prana. So, the whole world, nama, rupatvam, name, form, and action, karma. Beautiful psychological explanation, we will come to it. But what it means is that whatever body we have, whatever family we have, after birth and after marriage, whatever society we have, and what would be our experiences, it all depends upon how we experience by acting and reacting, and that is what is called karma siddhanta. That is what Patanjali Rishi summarizes, jati, ayu, and bhoga. We will come to that, but God has created foods. That means what? We, the human beings, are supplied food in the form of rains, in the form of seasons, and so we have to show our gratefulness, and that is called connecting ourselves with the gods in a very spiritual unity, and that is done through gratefulness, offering, joyful offering, and to get the idea, I am not the doer, I am not the enjoyer. It is God's grace that is coming in the form of whatever my body, whatever my food, whatever my experiences. So convert the whole life into a yajna. So that is what Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavan Krishna also says, all karmas are meant for only to be acted as a yajna. The whole life has to be converted into yajna. What is a yajna? Doing everything without the idea, I am the doer. Tuho, tuho. So what is yajna? Complete conversion of aham, aham into tuho, tuho. Naham, naham, tuho, tuho. And that is done through these experiences by being grateful. I am grateful because gods have given me food. I show my gratefulness through offering, joyful offering, and with the continuous feeling of gratefulness to the gods. And in the same sense, I am grateful to everything, to the whole world, in the form of sages, in the form of ancestors, in the form of Pitru Devatas, in the form of gods, in the form of every other human being and non-human being, and also that which is non-living, climate. for example. So, these are all annams, experiences. And our experiences depend upon how we live our life, God-given life, dedicated to God. That is the tatparya, essence. So, the main instruments, all these annas, either for bhoga, enjoyment, or yoga, for approaching God and becoming one with them. Food is the key. And that food, this particular point, manaha, vak, pranaha. So that is what is said even in this fifth section also. So any experience can be transformed into a spiritual practice. And any experience can also be made it into a hellish experience, worldly experience. So if I use God-given intelligence, body and mind for selfish purpose, I bind myself more and more. But if I use the same thing with intelligence, then I can gradually progress and finally attain oneness with Brahman, Atmajnana. But the instruments are necessary, mind, speech and vital force. So as I said yesterday, mind means full of thoughts and speech means that we have to thinking. Loud thinking is called speech. So if we are thinking evil thoughts, our thoughts will be only evil, our speech will be only evil speech and our actions will be evil actions. Vital force, prana. Prana means what? That divine vital force called Vayu Devata enters into us. We are borrowing it by His grace. And this prana enters into us, divides itself into five parts and keeps this body completely a fit instrument. But we have to be grateful to all the Panchabhutas. So, the Upanishad now provides profound definitions for all of them. First, we will deal what is manaha, the mind. How do we know we have a mind? How do we know that it is summer season or very hot season? So you just observe how hot the weather has become. The hotter it is, the greater it is. And so certain heat is very pleasant. Below that heat, very unpleasant. Above that homeostatic heat, it is very unpleasant. The more hotter it is, the more uncomfortable we become. So how do we know that it is summer season? Because we continuously experience heat. When we experience heat, high heat, by approaching a blazing fire in any form, that is not summer season. But continuously, day after day, night after night, we say it is. So this is an example, analogy, to show how do we know we have a mind. This Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, in this fifth section, gives a few hints. What are they? Kamaha, Sankalpaha, Vichikitsa, Shraddha, Ashraddha, Dhritihi, Adhritihi, Hrihi, Dhrihi, Bhihi, Etat Sarvam, Manayeva. So, how do we know there is a mind? And the Upanishad proceeds to give a beautiful example. Even if we cannot see the mind, we can reduce the presence of the mind by this experience. First of all, the mind is defined as an aggregate of various vrittis, only few vrittis. What is the first one? Kama, desire. What is the second? Sankalpa. Once desire comes, then it will not be fructified. We have to do sankalpa. We have to determine, I want to make this desire come true. And as we are making, putting forth efforts, doubts will come. Samshaya means a doubt, belief, disbelief, etc. Then there will come belief, disbelief. Oh, probably I should not have taken it up. But no, I am not going to give it up. So diffidence, modesty, precise knowledge, and fear. If any of these emotions are experienced by us, we have to understand all these indicate they are the very characteristics of the mind. So we know, so when a person is in deep sleep, he has no desires. But the moment he is awake, jagratavastha, or even dream state, immediately kama will come. The whole dream state is because of desire only. And often we find what we cannot achieve in the physical world, in our waking state, can be achieved easily if we can cultivate that special technique. There are some people in India, they believe that we have the secret of this technique. So, all of you, you think of a particular great person, head of that particular sect, and often it goes by Vishwamitra sect. So, all of us, at the same time, combine your thoughts. We want to visit Kailas and Manasarovar. And they claim, don't ask me whether it is right or wrong, but it can be right. Anything can be right through mind. One can go to Devaloka, one can go to Narakaloka, one can go to Mars, Saturn, America, Russia. I'm not telling their hells or heavens, but one can go in dream. Anywhere one can go, and he tries. So, desires, if there is a desire, that means mind is there. If there is a determination, mind is there. Vichikitsa means doubt. Shraddha means absolute faith. I can achieve it. Ashraddha, that means I don't have faith in myself. Perhaps I will not achieve it. That is also an emotion. And it has its, all these have their own consequences. Then dhritihi, tremendous willpower. Adhritihi, that is, some people, they don't have any willpower. Hrihi, hri means modesty. Dhihi, tremendous intelligence, capacity to understand. Bhihi, fear. So, iti etat sarvam manayeva. Any, these are only just few. So, any of these emotions, thoughts, come in the form of these emotions, that is the manifestation of the mind. And mind is invisible. It can only be experienced only through these. How do you know this person is a good person? Because goodness, evilness, all these things are not visible, but they can be understood through experience. If somebody gives you a blow without any cause, that means he is an evil person. And somebody smiles, helps you, and doesn't want even thanks, you know he, such a person is a good person. So, the mind is invisible. Now the Upanishad tells. So, I am sitting somewhere, I am facing in one direction, and suddenly, silently, another person comes and touches me at the back, and immediately I know somebody has touched me. Even a mosquito touches, a fly lands on me, or the wind is blowing upon me, anything, or cold, cool air in the summer season, then I know that mind is there. Because mind understands, even though I am not seeing the cause of that touch, but through that experience I know my mind understands, my mind is working, it has taken notice. Tasmadapi prushtataha upasprushtaha manasa vijanati. Through mind one knows it. Prishtataha means backside. Backside means that which is not immediately visible. Upasprishtaha means when it is touched, comes into contact with anything. We know that one. Then walk, speech. And you will notice that when a person, my person's mind is filled with thoughts. Mind is nothing but vrittis, thoughts. And depending on the quality of the thoughts, what comes out of the mouth, it is impossible for any person to speak. Sooner or later, this speech will betray a person. And that is how, especially the followers of Freud, they try to understand what is bugging a particular psychological patient, because they also can't read the mind of other person. In fact, most of us cannot read our own mind also. It remains as the unconscious part of the mind. Only a few remembrances will be there. That is all we know about these things. So, what is important is speech betrays. So, you are talking with somebody. Suddenly, he calls, you are a rogue, and immediately apologizes. Oh, no, I did not mean it. It just came out accidentally. There can be nothing more foolish than this expression. That's why in Bengali they say, pete nathakle beri ashena. If it is not already in the mind, your pet means mind inside, it will never come out. Because if you don't have anything inside, you can't give it, bring it out and give it to somebody or show it to somebody. It must be there. So, suddenly a person gets angry. No, no, I did not mean. No, you meant it, but you are suppressing it. We have to understand it. So, watch your speech. That is why, bhadram karnebhi shnuyama devaha. And if you find somebody is speaking that which delights you, takes you to higher regions, then you know that is satsanga. On the other hand, however nicely a person is talking, but it is creating fear in you, is bringing your mind down, then you have to understand, it is not the words. Here we have to take note. Speech doesn't mean words only. Speech means what is intended to convey. That is there behind. And psychologists try to read it. Some fellow is suffering because of his aunt. And then this person is asked by the psychologist. I am quoting as an example. So the psychologist notices and then he asks, what is your relationship with your aunt? Suddenly this fellow undergoes a convulsion and then he controls himself. He doesn't want to blurt it out. So he says, oh, she's a very nice lady. She treats me very nicely. But he cannot fool the psychologist. He understood. So now and then, when this fellow is least expecting, he will suddenly make that aunt, word aunt appear. Every time the reaction, because it is instinct, comes out. So that is called speech. The intention behind, the real, what is called motivation, that is more important than anything else. Marvard is used to take so many very quality things, quality sweets, quality flowers, quality fruits to Sri Ramakrishna. But he could not accept it. We want your blessings, but he could understand. Even if such a businessman brings a betel leaf, 16 desires are attached to it. That is what Sri Ramakrishna says. So we should never be taken in by the external speech. Because if we have been leading a good life, immediately we can feel whose speech is marvelous, real, and whose speech is artificial, connived, meaning one thing and speaking out something else. That's why when Narendranath started hearing Sri Ramakrishna, so his behavior, external behavior, seemed to be at odds with normal behavior. But then he was a person of great perception. Then only he understood. It is true that he may be behaving like that, but I have never come across a person whose speech, whose thought, whose action tallies in every way without contradicting each other. So, what it means is, what we think, what we truly believe, if we can make an exercise of expressing it in the appropriate manner, for example, a spiritual aspirant sings bhajans and praises God in various ways through various hymns, stotras, and he starts cultivating holy company, and he welcomes people who are good people, etc. So, through speech, we can communicate. A devotee communicates, and that communication can be worldly, can be spiritual. But a spiritual aspirant knows how to separate a grain from the chaff, and he can understand this is a holy person and this is not a holy person. So, defined simply as any sound emanating from the mouth for communication is called speech. But then, speech can be what is true, what is not true. But there is another aspect of speech that is called how do you listen to my talk? Because I am speaking. And what I am speaking is nothing but the words of the Upanishad. But in the light of Sri Ramakrishna, Holy Mother, and the direct disciples, you have to understand that one. I don't speak anything. I take certain saints, like Ramana Maharshi, is absolutely fine. Tulasi Dasa, Mirabai, Sor Dasa, so and all, great people are there. They're all men of God. So, their words are nothing but of God. So, that is walk. It is an instrument that can help us to make us progress in spiritual life. Then there is prana. What is the role of the prana? Every time we breathe in, we are breathing in Vayudevata. Every time we are eating Annadevata, Prithvi Devata. Whenever we are drinking Jaladevata. Jaladevata is not an individual sitting somewhere and then supplying. All the devatas in that these five forms are sustaining me. So this is called Prana Devata. This Prana Devata primarily comes in the form of oxygen, and it can come indirectly, not only through air, but in the form of the breathing out of every plant, whatever it is. So this prana, it goes inside. And prana means energy, vital energy. And this prana that we breathe in divides itself into five parts inside our body. What does it do? First, it helps us. Prana itself helps us to get in prana. Prana helps us to breathe out prana. So that which helps us to take in, breathe in, fill ourselves with oxygen is called apana. One particular function of the prana. When it helps us to throw out what is poisonous to us, carbon dioxide, that is called prana. And whatever regulates vyana, the regulator of prana and apana is called vyana. And then samana. Prana is known by the name samana. So what does it do? It helps us digest. It manifests in the form of digestive fire, Vaishvanara Agni. And then samana. Without partiality, it helps, it distributes all the energy. What is food? Energy. But food cannot be converted into energy. Energy is only food. Energy manifests in the form of food, and that food has to be reconverted into energy. And energy only helps us to convert that food back into energy. That function is called samana, without partiality. So, the eyes require some energy. The ears require some energy. The prana shakti requires some energy. The mind requires, every thought expends some amount of energy. And the more worrying our thoughts, the more energy we expend. So, all those functions are done by one particular function of this prana devata. It is called samana prana. And then there is another called udana. When food is not suitable, it helps us relieve our discomfort by throwing outward in the form of vomiting. It helps us throw out undigested food, and at last, when this body is not capable of sustaining us, it helps the prana move outwards, outside the body, leaving the body here, keeping the four other,
that is pranamaya kosha, manomaya kosha, vijnanamaya kosha, anandamaya kosha intact, that function of the prana is called udana. Prana apana udana vyana samana. So this is how prana sustains us, vak sustains us, then manaha sustains us. These three are foods. These three are called foods. Food means experience. These three help us how to experience our God-given opportunity called life. So, with the help of these three, whether I want to experience the external world, experience the internal world, want to bind myself, want to release myself, either for bhukti or mukti, for everything, this prana, this mind, prana and vak, these are the three important instruments. Now we see that what is the purpose of the seven annas. With the help of these seven annas, every jiva is supposed to evolve until he reaches his paternal home, manachalo nijaniketane. That is the real purpose. But meanwhile, it doesn't prevent us from enjoying, but as the prasadam of God. So, how we experience this external world, how, what type of body we have been given, what type of mind is given, what type of external world is given, what type of experiences are given to us, everything depends upon karma siddhanta, what we did in the past life. So coming back again to the triangle, so we cannot advance towards God unless we treat adhyatmika, my body is nothing but God. Adibhautika, the entire external creation is nothing but God. Adidaivika, it is also nothing but God. God only is manifesting as the three angles, adhyatmika, adibhautika, and adidaivika. Through these three, we create our, or we experience it through our karmas, and depending upon how we use these three instruments, three angles, our life experiences the world. This is the, in brief, sankshipta, what is called karma siddhanta. So, why is human being born? Why is srishti is created? So that it can realize God. That is called evolution. Now, the mantra tells something very interesting. That, how is it that the activities of every jiva never comes, these foods never come to an end, even though we are experiencing. Kasmatani nakshiyante adhyamanani sarvat. So why do not these foods come, are not exhausted? Because we go on experiencing them, creating, recreating through action and reaction, and through birth and rebirth. That is what he says. Everything depends upon me. Then we just discussed Trini Atmane Akuruteti Manovacham Prana. So God has given us three instruments so that we can progress in life. We can recreate ourselves. We can recreate ourselves. That means what? I am now thinking, I created myself. I am a human being. But I wish to be God. What is the wish? Asatoma sadgamaya, tamasoma jyotirgamaya, mrutyorma amrutangamaya. So, man is given, and again, once we have been given, we make them our own. What do we make our own? Mind, speech, and prana. And we go on creating ever new actions, new reactions, and until we wake up and direct all the three towards, exclusively towards God, this bondage of the world continues. And then the Upanishad states a marvelous truth. Manasahi eva pashyati, manasah shrunoti. Indeed, one sees with the mind, one hears with the mind. Many times I discussed it. Suppose you see a person, that is only just the beginning of the action. How I look at that person, what opinions I cherish about that person, how I act and react towards that person, it is all my actions. And through mind only. Mind gets, is a good person. Mind acts one way. This is an evil person. I don't like him. Mind acts in a different way. And then this mind is the root cause. Vijnatam, vijignasyam, avijnatam. Whatever is known, mind is the cause. Whatever is unknown, avijnatam, mind alone is the cause. And whatever is to be known, especially through scriptures, through satsanga, vijignasyam, everything through the mind only we do. Therefore, manayeva manushyanam karanam bandhamokshayoho. So, this is the essence of the fifth brahmanam. We have come to the end of the panchama brahmanam, which has 23 mantras. Now, what is the nature of God, gods, the world, and ourselves? This is the topic of the sixth brahmanam, and everything is in the mind only. So, if we can use life means mind correctly, then I can progress, I can go back from where I have come, I can know who I am and permanently become free. That is why Sri Ramakrishna used to say, life is meant for evolution. Only he said, Yavat Bachi Tavat Shikhi. So long as I live, I learn. He is not telling as a hyperbole. He is telling is absolutely true. So do not have any doubt. Sri Ramakrishna did not learn anything. He came only to teach. He is Sarvajna. It is true. As God, he is Sarvajna. But after being born as a human being, he learnt bhajans. He learnt Bengali language. He did not come with Bengali language. And he developed a taste for a curry prepared with 5 types of spices. Panch Puran. All these things he learnt only through life. And even in the end, he is telling. But his learning is meant only for one purpose. Not for his sake, but for teaching everybody else. So, here we are in the sixth brahmana, the last brahmana, which has only 3 mantras. And with this, the first chapter will come to an end. A marvelous psychological dissection of what is life. What is life? What is the world? Who are we? And what is this creation? This is answered in this sixth brahmana. And why creation is done by God? Everything is answered here in this sixth. So it starts with mantra trayamva idam nama rupam karma. This indeed a threefold name, form and action. What is it to say? The whole creation is nothing but name, form and action. What is my body? Form, name and action. What is a pot? Name, form and action. There is nothing else beyond name, form and action. How do you think about a person? When you hear his name, his form comes. When the form flashes in front of you, this fellow, he had abused me, he cheated me, he robbed me. This person is so nice. How nicely he treated me. He went out of his way to help me. All these thoughts come. The entire universe is nothing but nama, rupa and karma. Let me give you a small example before continuing. Look at a pot. So the pot is nothing but the form. First, somebody takes the clay. Clay is the original material. And that is given a form. And why that particular form is given? For a particular purpose. I want to cook food pot. I want to store certain materials, bigger pot. And I want to drink water, a small glass. I want to eat food, a small plate. So, what do I want out of this clay? How can I shape this clay? That is called rupa. And to distinguish that I want a glass, not a plate, etc. So I give it a name, small pot, big pot. And if there are so many pots, then number one of the same size and shape, same color, then number one pot, number two pot, number three pot, pot above, pot below, pot to the right side, pot to the left side, pot behind, pot before. So this is all nama. And what is the purpose? Karma. I want to drink, I want to eat, I want to cook, I want to store. All these, the whole universe is nothing but forms, names and actions. And how we use that one, upon that depends our whole life, our future life. So, of those names, speech is the source, for through it, all names are upheld. Now the Upanishad wants to tell us a marvelous truth, speech. So, he said earlier, speech. What is the speech? Nama. Name. What is a name? If you never open your mouth and speak, book, bring a book, the person will never understand what is it you want that person to do. So every object has a name and every name is nothing but speech. Speech means what? That general sound assigned in a particular way to a particular object, that is called speech. And then similarly, what is a form? A generalized form. First, a generalized form. This is a pot, is a form. What form is it? It is in the shape of a glass. So that is the form of the that particular piece of clay. Naturally, what is, why is it shaped? Why is it manufactured, created? Because it is useful for me to drink water, serve water to other people, etc. So, speech is the root cause. How do I say, bring that book? Through speech. And what do I say? Book. If there is one book, that speech will do. There are two books, then adjectives are necessary, visheshana is necessary. The red book, the yellow colored book, small book, big book, etc. So what I am trying, what the Upanishad is trying to tell us, nama means speech. Speech means that generalized sound which can be transformed according to the forms into infinite number of different names. Speech is the foundation. Names are to distinguish one form from the other form. But that generalized sound is what is indicated. Similarly, generalized form. So clay has generalized name, generalized form. Only when the clay becomes, takes a particular form, then you call it, this is a pot, this is a glass, this is a plate, etc. So, nama means generalized sound. Rupa means generalized form, speech and form. What for? Karma. You take any object in this world, it has a name to distinguish it from others. It has a form, again to distinguish it from others. And how I deal with that? For example, I see a mango and immediately I want that karma. I have a desire. This is a sweet mango. I want to eat this mango. So that is called karma. So first, external world is divided into nama and rupa. That is why in Panchadashi, Vidyaranya says, Brahman, Sat, Chit, Ananda plus Nama and Rupa is called Srishti. Srishti minus Nama Rupa is called Brahman. So, the whole universe is nothing but Nama Rupa. That includes, remember, our own body, our own mind. So, I am a baby, one particular Rupa. I am a young person, another particular Rupa. I am an old person, another particular Rupa. So, young, youth, old, these are all namas. Similarly to the mind, I am happy, I am unhappy, and I am satisfied, I am dissatisfied, I have this desire, I have no desire. This is all nothing but karma. So, what does this individual jiva want to do with this nama rupa karma. Remember, my body, my mind, everything is included in creation, but that which that person, that individual who is using is called jivatma. That jivatma uses nama rupa to do some action, and that action slowly helps us evolve. And when we become human beings, then we have better knowledge, better understanding, but it has to be expressed in the form of action. So one action gives us dharma, artha, kama. Another action leads us to mukti. This is what is being indicated now in this Shastra Brahmana. I said that this is the most psychological explanation. The whole creation is nothing but nama, rupa, karma. Name, form, and action. We will talk this marvelous subject in our next class. Om Jananim Sharadam Devim Ramakrishnam Jagadgurum Padapadme Tayo Saritva Pranamami Mohur Mohoho. May Ramakrishna Holy Mother and Swami Vivekananda bless us all with Bhakti. Jai Ramakrishna.